Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
And somebody might blame it on too much coffee, but I think they're full of love. Okay? I just think I'm fired up on good things. It's good to be together. It's good to be in the house. It's
good to praise and worship. And so let's just take advantage of all these good things. Kind of looks gloomy outside, but it ain't got to be gloomy in here, right? Miss Marty, is my right? Am I right? Yes, I'm right. She wants to come to a happy church. Y'all happy? I know some people are like, we're not going to be happy because that has to do with something happening. Well, something good's happening, so you might as well be happy, right? And joy is of the Lord, amen? And we ought to be joyful too. But let's get it started. Let me pray for us, and the band's going to kick us off. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this group gathered here. It's a unique group. It's never been just like this. We're even different. I'm different this week from last week. And so, Father, it's just different. Thank you for gathering this church fresh. Break us off a fresh word. Help us, Lord, to worship you from a heart that has that sense of how blessed we are to be graced by you. About how wonderful it is that you're our God and Savior. And as we sing these songs, Father, would you come over us with your Spirit and fill us that we might worship you in spirit and truth. You are the audience for our songs. We're not here in a performance. We're here to worship. And Lord, help us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you've been saved, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, if you've been saved, why don't you just say amen?
Amen.
If you ain't been saved, why don't you get saved?
Amen.
Because God's done everything possible. Everything that's needed has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. And it's just, man, that's what this whole thing's about. You think about it. Do y'all get the sense that the resurrection day is coming, that Easter day is coming, even in our songs, and we're singing it? Can I tell you, don't ever treat the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as normal, everyday stuff. Man, when we sing about it, when we hear about it, let's celebrate it. And it's just an awesome thing.
put in my head a couple years ago, but my brain's kind of like a crock pot. It's not a fast cooking thing, okay? So it just happens to where they said this probably 2 years ago. It's the anointing of the Spirit that breaks chains. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God that changes lives. And even though that's been in my head cooking for a couple years, thank you. Even though that's been in my head cooking for a couple years, today was the first Sunday where there was a group of people, small group albeit, and I was late, 35 minutes late, for their own meeting that I called. But there was a group of people this morning at 7:35 praying for the anointing of the Spirit of God to be on this place. For the anointing of the Spirit of God to work in the people who are going to be gathered here today. That God would break every chain. That God would transform lives. And I just want you to know that you've been prayed for. And I want you to know that we prayed over this entire deal and gave it to God and said, God, have your way. God, do your work. God, do what no song or no preacher or no anybody else can do. No fellowship. Do what you alone can do, God. And that's how we pray for today. And that's going to become our habit. You know, we've had a lot of bad habits in our lives. Amen? Man, it's time to start getting some good habits in our life, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, good habits are hard to make and easy to break. So you all pray. Say, Lord, help our preacher, as weird as he is, to be dedicated to praying for the Spirit to move in our service that we might see you. Amen? And if you want to come next week at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock, not 7:35. At 7 o'clock, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for what God might do in our services. Father God, I pray right now, and the band's going to do one more before the sermon, or how many ever they're going to do, but I pray right now that you would, through your Spirit, break every chain. And I want to pray specifically for the chains that we really like. The chains that we cherish. The chains that they're our pet chains. The ones that we don't want to see broken the most. Would you break those? Would you break them first? And then help us not to be lost without them. Break them. Break every chain. We're praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.
my breeches. Gotta get my breeches up. Come on. Get my preaching pants on. Oh, is the microphone on? Oh. All right, Nani's class. Are y'all ready? Ready, Nani? Ready, break. Here they go. They're walking. They're going. Here they go. There they go. Y'all see that guy with the bow tie? He's going to be the preacher in there. He's trying to influence this preacher for bow ties, but we ain't got there yet. We ain't got there yet. We're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. If you remember last week, or if you weren't here last week, let me just tell on myself. We didn't preach the sermon. It just got changed up on us. So it's the exact same outline that you had from last week. It's not going to be the same sermon I was going to preach last week. But it's going to be, we're going to cover that passage of 1 Corinthians. And I'm just going to go, we probably have it on the board. Yeah, I'll just read what we have on the board to keep us all on track. And so if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I'm going to start in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 13. And then we're going to go on. We're going to move it on. Here it is. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For are you still carnal? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, I'm of Paul, and the other, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord God gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Let's pray. Father God, now that we've heard your word, and that is the perfect part of this message, would you apply it to our heart and do your work, Father, of convicting, of teaching, of instructing and leading, of correcting and equipping. Would you do your work through your word that we may be the church. We may be the church that pleases you. That we may be the church that accepts the responsibility of joining together for the mission of getting the message of the cross to a dying world. Father, that you would bring us together and help us to step aside from every and all distractions, any and all divisions, contentions, and envies. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. And we know there is no good thing, no spiritual growth, no salvation that comes in any other name besides the name of Jesus Christ. And so it's in his name, in your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. This is the second time in the book of 1 Corinthians that these same problems have been brought up. In chapter 1, in verse 10, He says, it's been reported to me that there are divisions among you. And in verse 11 of that chapter, he says, it's been reported that there are contentions, strivings, fightings among you. There is something about those problems in particular. The church of Corinth had a plethora. Do y'all know that? It makes me smile when I get to say that word, so I'm going to say it all the time. A plethora of issues, a plethora of sins, an abundance of things wrong. But before he gets into addressing any other thing that's wrong, twice he comes back to this issue of not being united, being divided, being striving and contentious. Twice. Almost as if to say this, if y'all would come together under the name of Jesus Christ, you can tackle every other problem you got. It's almost to say this, if you think you've got problems out there and you're looking at this one and that one's bad, stop looking at this one and that one, come together, come united, focus on the mission at hand, and boom, watch those other things tumble. We had a saying, have a saying in this country, right? United we, divided we. Where did we get that saying from? Might have been this Jewish rabbi back in the first century who said, any kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That Jewish guy, that was Jesus, by the way. Any kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So why is it that Paul has to harp on this with the Corinthians? Two reasons. Because they had that issue going on. And he's like, y'all ain't going to accomplish what you need to accomplish until you can come together as one underneath the name of Jesus Christ. They threw a lot of names out there in both chapters. Some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Apollos. Some say I'm of Cephas. Some say I'm of Christ. He said that in chapter 1. He goes through all these names. He rehearses them again in this chapter. Some say this. Some say I got this. I want to focus on that. There's nothing wrong with those folks. There's nothing wrong with those programs, those things, or the other problems we see. But if those things become divisive, they've got to submit. And they're going to submit to the Paul or the Apollos or the other leader. They don't have to submit to Big John or anybody else. We submit to God in Christ. We're not here to humiliate or lord over or do any other thing with anybody. We're here to say, Jesus won our loyalty. Has Jesus won your loyalty? Ask yourself, has Jesus won your loyalty? What else could he do? Man, if we won't come together under the name of Jesus, what other name would there be? Who else could bring us together? I think that's what Paul was saying here. Who else could bring a church together? If it's not the name of Jesus, Paul is writing and saying, believe me, it's not the name of Paul. And then he talks about his other minister friend, Apollos. Believe me, it's not the name of Apollos. If Jesus' name can't bring us together, what can? But here's the thing. Jesus' name can bring us together. Jesus wants to bring us together. And in this passage, he's dealing with this again. He gives an outline in this of three different type of people. In this outline that he gives, starting in chapter 2, verse 13, in that chapter 2 passage, he addresses two of the people groups. He says spiritual and natural. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's just good for us to have an idea of it, okay? Spiritual and natural. The spiritual man is the one, or the spiritual person is the one who's being led, taught, by Christ. They're a Christian, they're born again, and they're growing. Not perfect, but growing. They're following the lead, and they're following the teacher of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 describes to us the natural man. He says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you even further than that? We know the natural man just does not receive the Holy Spirit. The natural man is running on human ethics, on human values, on everything that's just human. Not necessarily bad. Don't hear this as bad things. Hear this as man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. The natural person is not a saved person. The natural person has not received the things of the Spirit of God. And can I tell you, one of the things of the Spirit of God is being born again. Jesus said, those who are born of the Spirit and of the water, those are the ones who have been born again. So if a person doesn't receive that which the Spirit of God brings, that means they haven't received the Spirit of God, which means they're not God's. They don't belong to Him. So in this first part, we got those two categories. The spiritual person who's been saved and is growing and is pursuing God. We have the natural person who has not been saved and is operating solely on their best effort and human value and ethics. Then we got the third person we're introduced to in chapter 3 in verse 1. He says, I wish I could have spoke to you as spiritual people, but I can't. He says, because you're carnal. Babes in Christ. To me, that's the key saying for who these people are. These people are Christians. Because Paul wouldn't call them in Christ if they weren't. In Christ is a special formula that God gave through the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul to describe who a Christian is. Who is a Christian? They are one who is in Christ. These carnal people are in Christ. They're saved. They know the Lord. They've been born again. They've received salvation from God. And yet, at some point, they don't grow anymore. At some point, they've stopped. Or in some issue, they've stopped. And now, although they are saved, they're operating on the same human ethics that the natural person does. Okay? So you got those three people. You're the spiritual person, saved and growing. The natural person, not saved. When you think of natural, just think of born once, not born twice. And then you got the carnal, the babe in Christ, the babies in Christ who have been born again but are staying in infancy, or in some issue they're just not catching on. And what he says to them, the issue that they're not catching on about, is this idea of unity. He says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And the word carnal means fleshly. In other words, you're just operating off the human side of things. He says in verse 3, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men or like natural men? Just like the highest thing you got in your life is your eighth grade teacher who told you you were smart. And you're like, yeah, I'm smart and I'm going to go with that. And all of a sudden you're just trying to be sciencey or ethical or philosophical or every other human thing. But, y'all, that's not how Christ works. Now, those are the three categories. Let me just use an example. It's always safest to use yourself as an example. I've been born again. My testimony is that of someone who is confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to whom the Spirit of God confirmed through all I can say is a sign that I recognized when the gospel was being preached. It was like inside my spirit there was a snapping, like that's true, that's true, that's true, and I came to believe. Now, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have a background in church. I didn't have a background in the Word. I didn't have any kind of thing. So when I got saved, as a pagan heathen dude, I continued to live like a pagan heathen dude. Just did. Just kept going. Didn't, you know, I was in a relationship. I was in some habits. I was in these things. And even though I had gotten saved, it didn't seem like, you know, nothing. I didn't know it. I was like, amen, I'm saved. Matter of fact, I can't even tell you some of the things I would say. I'd get so happy about the Lord, I'll just blurt out a whole bunch of cuss words about how good Jesus was. Which really hurts people in church when you do that. And anyways, that's what I had to learn. And so you'd come, and I'd come to church, and people would say, you know, that's not right, man. And they would start helping me grow. They recognized that I was a baby in the Lord. And they start helping you grow, and they start working on you, and they start talking with you, and they start helping you and praying for you. And eventually, you start growing. That's the idea, right? I mean, babies are cute, but if you got a 20-year-old baby, it stops being cute. You don't want to change them. You know, what I'm saying is you don't want to change their baby. All right, you get what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you that although I know I'm not the natural man because I've been saved, I know this, still in my walk there's times I'm the spiritual man, and still there's some times when I'm the carnal man. in some issues I see where God is leading me and I've submitted to the teachings of the Holy Spirit directly and I'm walking with Him as He's calling me. And yet there's some parts and some issues in my life where I see myself walking like a mere man, like somebody who just doesn't have anything higher going on, no higher power than whatever, than their appetite, or nothing better going on, nothing stronger than just human wisdom and ethics. Sometimes when I relate to people, I'm relating to them just out of Big John, just out of John Goldwater. And somebody might say something, and I'm gonna come right back at them. Sometimes I do things that I'm not praying. So I see in myself times when I'm that carnal person acting like a baby in Christ. And then there's times when through God's strength I've been that spiritual person. And you know what I know about y'all from being your pastor for this long? Most of y'all in that same boat too. There's times where I go, my goodness, I'm so thankful for how spiritual. I'm so thankful for the church growing up and going out and learning and doing and working and being selfless and saying, oh Lord, and just serving God. And I'm like, yes. I like to say rock and roll and lightning, but I don't know if that makes good sense to y'all. But in my mind, that's like, yes. Touchdown. A pastor's touchdown is when a church is becoming spiritual. But I know this about us too. There's sometimes when you go, not rock and roll and lightning. And we see the opposite. And we see carnality. We see decisions made in the flesh. And we hear things and we look and we go, oh my goodness. But can I tell you something? You ought not be too proud about being spiritual. Because God got you there. And you ought not be too distraught about being carnal every once in a while. Because we all get there. And God's the one who grows us. Matter of fact, we're moving on from us right now because the passage of this scripture really isn't just trying to talk to us about us. Because twice it's going to say this thing. It's God that gives the increase. Very quickly, when the apostle gives this out, what he wants to do is not focus on the problem, but he's trying to focus on the way out of the problem, and he wants to focus on God. So he tells them, there may be these things, this carnality, this divisions and strife and envy. He said, don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in looking at this guy, that lady, this person, these things, those ones. He said, look to God. Look to the one who actually makes things grow. Look to the one who makes it possible. Look to the one who has the answers. Don't start looking at the ones who have a bunch of questions and don't live right. God never said, hey, go follow them. Jesus came to this world and said, hey, come follow me. We don't want to be those that come into church and are looking at somebody and finding somebody to follow. We've got somebody to follow. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one shepherd of God's flock. One. Now there's a bunch of under-shepherds, there's little shepherds. He calls pastors. The word pastor means shepherd, but you're not here to follow me. I want to live such a life that you can. Okay? But he didn't say, go follow Big John. He said, follow me. Paul's going to say this, follow me as I follow Christ. That's where we need to look. In 1 Corinthians, he gives two solutions to the problem of divisions. Two solutions. One we've looked at already in chapter 1. The solution is to be unified in our speech, in our deeds, or our fellowship, and in our attitude. To be unified, speech, our fellowship, and our attitude about our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I talked about earlier. If the name of Jesus can't bring us together. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians was a Jesus, come to Jesus meeting. And he just kept saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, be unified in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus pull you together. Church, let Jesus pull you together. That's what he was saying. The second solution, and we're going to hear some testimony about this in a minute. The second solution is this, be unified in mission. Be unified in mission. Oh, this is where we are. This is what I believe God has for us. He has for us to grow up and walk in mission together, where every part is giving what it needs to give for the body to grow. But listen to it in the Word. I don't want you just to think, well, that sounds really good. Now listen to this. Starting in verse 5 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now listen to this. Neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He is everything. Now he who plants and he who waters are what? Are what?
One.
One what?
One something.
Just one. They're just one. I'm just telling you, the Word says they're just one. I don't know anything else. They're just one. They're not two. They're not three. They're not four. They're one body. They're one in mission. They're one in purpose. Look at, he says, there's one who waters and there's one who plants. And they're not on the same, on different teams. It's not the planting team and the watering team. It's the team. They're one. One team, one church, one body, they're one. See, the devil was going to try to use just anything to cause an unnatural division amongst the church and try to say, well, you should follow this one, you should like that one, and you should do this way, and you should do that way. And the Holy Spirit sat Paul down and said, write a letter, and in that write this, he who plants and he who waters, they're one. They're one. They're working on the same team. They're going along on the same mission. And that mission is to do the part they've been called to do on the same team. But can I tell you, they're still dependent on God to give the increase. God still is the one who gives the increase. God still is the one that makes the labor and the effort and the purpose come to fruition. It's God who does it. Let me ask y'all, you want to be on the same team? I find in myself, it's one of my greatest desires to be on a team. It's one of the greatest things that I miss. I miss playing competitive sports. I miss being on a team. I miss counting on somebody that you're going to do your part, and I'm going to do my part, but we're going to score. We're going to do it. We're going to march this football down the field, and we're going to put it in the end zone. And ain't nobody going to stop us, because we're all going to run the guy over on the other end of the field, and we're going to put that ball in the end zone. Aren't we?
Yep.
Getting fired up. But man, I love that. I love being on a team. I love walking in. I've had an opportunity, and I get some opportunities, and God's so gracious to me to give me opportunities to be on teams for Jesus. Matter of fact, this weekend right now, I'm working in Emmaus, and y'all are gracious as a church to know that a lot of times I get to work these weekend retreats, and I get to be on a team for Jesus. And can I tell you, your pastor got to lead somebody to the Lord Friday, and that's awesome. But you know what? I was on a team of 50-plus people who all been praying and working towards that thing. So it wasn't me on myself just going off and doing this thing. I was on a team. I can tell you another time when being a team is really important. I've had opportunities several times to go to Parchman Penitentiary and share Christ there. And I've gone as a part of a team. And man, when I go in there as a part of a team, chest up, shoulders back, got that preacher strut going on, like, that's right. That's right. I'm going to break the Word off to you. I'm going to bring fresh bread. I'm going to break it off. Drop it like it's hot. Boom. Bring it. Then I've had opportunities to go in there and teach in their seminary classes by myself. And they said, come out on a Tuesday and just come out, walk up in here. I'm like, all right. So I get out there, and somewhere where I get out of the car and before I go through the same checkpoint, I look around like I'm kind of alone right now. Kind of all by myself. And the swagger's not there, and I'm kind of more like, hi, I'm John. I just hope to live through this whole experience. And you go through these things. I remember the first time I came, they said, you need to go this way, and then they're explaining to me. They didn't walk me down to where I needed to go. They're explaining, you need to go through here and you go see all this stuff. Well, they'd bring me through this place, and I think they did it on purpose, where they had these guys in isolation, and they were in cages They were no bigger than, maybe a little bit bigger than a school locker, because they had been acting up. And whoever gave me directions made sure I walked through that room. So I walk through this room, and these people, the fingers in the cage, and I can't tell you what they're saying, but I'm like going, where's my team? I'm not supposed to be here by myself. I need a team. Oh my goodness, to experience that team and experience not that team, it just drives home the fact that we need to be that team. Christ Community Church needs to be that team. We need to have that to where we say, hey, and no team's perfect, just like no family, right? Who's got the perfect family? I forgot. Raise your hand. I forgot. Okay, right there, Jamie. Right on. Okay, so besides the Harrison family, he's like, no! Hey, churches are families. Means there are no perfect churches either, and they're a team, and it means there's no perfect team either. But you know what? We can be perfect for what God designed us for. We can perfectly accomplish what God destined us for. We can perfectly play our role and watch God give the increase, even though we all have limitations and we all have times when our patience runs out. We all have times when we're stomping on somebody's last nerve and we don't even know it, or somebody's stomping on our last nerve and they don't even know it, and we got to say, hey, we're family. What's family for? Except for stomping your last nerve. You know, I've been mad at people in my family, and I never decided to go to Christmas at anybody else's house. You hear what I'm saying? I ain't never said, I'm mad at my Uncle Harry, and I do have an Uncle Harry. We're a Harry family. Never been mad at my Uncle Harry to the point where I said, you know what? I ain't going to his house. I'm going to go down the street to my neighbor's. It's closer. Looks like a nice house, and just knock on that door on December 25th. What y'all doing? It's Christmas, and we're having Christmas. Great. We're coming in with you because I've decided I don't like my family anymore, and so I'm coming into your family, and I'm going to do Christmas with you because my family done made me mad. What if somebody came to your house? I mean, they might have gifts and everything, too. They got the wrong names on the sticker. You know what I'm saying? They got all this stuff, but it's like, hey, it's still presents. Amen. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. No, man, imperfect families work it out together. Man, we grow together, and we become a team together, and we are God's team. That last verse, verse 8, just to reunite this, verse 9, it says, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And I don't want to go far into this because we have testimonies to share, but I want us to remember, y'all, at Christ Community, we want to get this mindset. You don't come to church. You are the church. Y'all get where I'm going? It said you are God's building. This ain't God's building. This is the building. We built the house, the building. This ain't the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the place where the Spirit of God dwells. Next week in chapter 3, we will learn that the Spirit of God dwells in the temple, which is you, not this. This is important. This is good. But we are the building. We are the church. We need to be one team, united in the mission to get the word and the message of the cross out to a lost and dying world. And he made us a team that can reach anybody. He made us a team that can reach everybody. Now, I'm going to ask, if you went to the Beautiful Feet mission trip, I'm going to ask that you come forward right now. You don't have to share, matter of fact. You don't all get to share. Sorry. But I want them to see, I want all of us to see, and we even have guests who are here who went on the trip who didn't know we were going to be calling them out. But we did. And Jamie's back there trying not to be called out. It's only because he has the perfect family. And we have...
So,
This is part of our team. This isn't everybody. I don't know everybody. Like, some people left out, but that's okay. This is some are teaching, some are involved in different things. But this is what I want you to see, and why it's perfect to give this message with this testimony right here. Because 3 years, this is my third year at Beautiful Feet. In the 3 years that I've been going, this year was the least drama of any of the years that I went. And not that the drama was really bad before. You know, I don't want to give you the bad idea. But there was like zero drama. And we had a good bit of youngins. You know, you can see by our trip, right? Their potential for drama may have been high. But I'm going to tell you what they did at Beautiful Feet that reminds me of this message, is they worked us to the bone. They put us to some labor, and they got us going on, and it brought us together, and it just zapped any kind of potential for drama. Which reminds me of how here, and if we put our mind to being on mission, and if we say, it's not about me, and it's not about them, it's not about, but it's about God who gives the increase, and we're going to pull together and work hard, how we can enjoy that as a team forevermore. All right. Now, this is our team, and we're just going to hear some testimony. We just have time for Trez. What are you doing? Stop sitting there. Come on up here.
I'm not supposed to be there.
Yes. You didn't go?
No.
In my mind, you went. You want to share something anyway? Never mind. Okay. All right. Who has a testimony that they'd like to share?
My name is JC Eldridge. Some people call me JC Taylor. That's my middle name. So anything's good. I actually don't go to church here. I'm here because I went to Beautiful Feet, and these are my people. They're my friends. They're my team. So that's why I'm here this morning. I'm visiting, but I love these people, and I love this family. I've gone to Beautiful Feet for like 6 or 7 years now. I'm 16 years old. I go to Winona Christian School. My testimony is pretty basic. I've always been in church. I've always been in a Christ-like family. I've always had Christ-like examples to look up to. I've always been very outgoing, very outspoken, super loud, super crazy, super weird sometimes. But I go to school every day, just like a normal teenager. And I deal with a lot of people who sometimes get on my nerves. I deal with a lot of people who I love each and every day. I love to dance. It's what I do. I've had the wonderful opportunity to teach dance with my Aunt Renee. So I do that basically all week. So that's what I do. I teach kids from K-2 all the way to kids in 12th grade. And so that's what I love. So each and every day, that's how I try to glorify the Lord in my life, is through doing what I love. And teaching the little ones that, you know, it's not about how good you are. It's not about how bad you are. It's not about when you mess up. It's not about when you do good. It's that, you know, you do that to bring a different message. Like, you do that to bring Christ through you and send out the example that they need to see. The kids, I deal with a lot of kids, and that's my goal for what I do each and every day. So I go to church every Sunday. Not that, that matters, but I've just been there my whole life. And so I was saved when I was 8 years old. Pretty basic, right? I was saved when I was 8 years old. But the Lord has always been pretty prevalent in my life, but came very prevalent in my life. I guess it was last year, my 10th grade year. I went through a really toxic friendship. I was friends with this girl because she needed God. She needed that light. She needed a friend. She needed me as a friend. And so I was there for her. And a lot of things went down, and it ended really badly. And she treated me really, really badly at school, really harsh, really ugly things that went down. And so through that, I really learned how to overcome and how to be better than Satan's harsh things that he threw at me through her and through other people at school. And so Beautiful Feet, to say, just to bring this together, Beautiful Feet is such a holy place. You go there as a team, and you go there expecting to just, you know, go out on the streets. These people are hungry. Okay, here's a donut. Thanks. Have a good day. Seriously. It's walk up to somebody, especially being young, it's hard to just walk up to somebody and just be like, hey, you know, Christ is your Savior. Thanks, here's this donut, have a good day. It's really easy to say that there because you're scared. It's a place where you're sort of scared because you're not used to something like that. But the Spirit of God is so prevalent there. And especially when you go with people that you love and people that, like, come to mean so much to you. It's not just a donut. It's not just a, hey, how are you? It's not just a hug and a prayer. It's God, and it's God's message, and it's God's word. So when I go there, obviously it's so easy just to be able to pray and to be able to be like, praise God, you know, this is wonderful. Look at all these people. They have nothing. Zero. No house, no food most of the time, no shoes, no clothes. I mean, some, like, they're wearing Nike shorts in the freezing weather. And it's easy to go there and be like, you know, even though you're in the worst of places, you have this place that's there for you. You have this God that's there for you, this message that will turn your life around. It's so easy there. But what I want to tell y'all today, I mean, it's about Beautiful Feet, but not just about Beautiful Feet, like, even in my life, like, I go there and it's so easy for me to preach the gospel, and it's so easy for me to be loving and be kind and do all these things. But in our everyday life, just like Mr. John was talking about today, in the Word of God, it says, you know, one plants, one waters, and God grows. That's what it's about. That's what the message is about. It's what the, you know, God's plan for us is about. We're here to be servants. And so, yes, of course, it's wonderful. Beautiful Feet's a great place. And when you go there, it's so easy to plant seeds and to spread the joy of Christ and the Word of God when you go out on the streets and even with the people that you're with. But the reason it's been such a blessing to me is because every time I come home, I try to push myself. I'm like, JC, you're so on fire right now. Like, God's given you such a joy to, like, spread the Word of God. And so each and every day in our life, Beautiful Feet has taught me especially that it's okay to be bold. Even though it's hard as a kid, even though it's hard at school, when everybody would rather just do the opposite thing, turn the opposite way from them. Yeah, for sure. Seriously, school is so hard, but even when it's hard, you should still have that joy and have that, like, anxious desire to spread the Word of God. And so it's something that's really hard, but it's something that we as Christians should try to do each and every day to push ourselves in His Word and push ourselves as His servants, because that's what we're here to be. We're here to plant the seeds. We're not here to save people. We are. But God's the one that puts that desire in their heart and moves that growth. We're here to plant the seeds, and we're here to water the seeds, and we're here to be servants so that that growth can take place one day. So Beautiful Feet has been such a milestone in my life and in my walk with Christ. And if you haven't been, I definitely encourage you to go. Especially, I'd love for you to go with us. So, yeah, that's all.
Show the world what God is and what He can do in our lives. There was this one woman, her dog just died.
Hard when you see people hurting, you know, you just feel for them. Yeah. You know, and that's just part of it. That's just part of it. Who else will share right now?
Hi, my name is Josh. Most of you know that. But I think it was a Friday, and we were going to do missions, and we were handing people these boxes of food that I don't remember where they were from. They were like from Japan. It was weird food. Yeah, they were supposed to be for soldiers. Did they make it on time to Puerto Rico or something like that? Yeah. But we were walking, and this is one I really remember. There were two, but I'm going to talk about the one that affected me the most. We were really far into the trail, like almost at the end, because we were walking and giving it to people who lived in tents. And there was just one guy who had just buried his wife, like 2 weeks ago. His wife. And he chose to live, you know, he chose to live in a tent. He didn't always live in a tent. He chose to live there. And he got up, went to church every day. And why that hit me so hard is because he's going through all these hardships, but yet he's still got that commitment. And that really says something about, you know, us. We have all the things, you know, that they wish to have a quarter of what we have right now. And when you think about it, some of us don't really commit to doing things like that. I know I wouldn't commit to going to church every single day. I wouldn't commit to getting up and going out and doing work to make $3 to have something to eat. I mean, when you look at somebody that has so much less than we do, and they've got that commitment, I mean, that just really hit me. And, you know, that they're an inspiration to me. They're my inspiration, and that's why I like to go. I guess that's all I can say.
Is that turned on? Yeah, it's turned on. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bert. I'm actually Joshua's dad. And that's the shortest testimony he's given yet. Thank you, Joshua. Look, I'm really proud of the team that went, because they went out in really cold weather. They went out in really wet weather. They worked hard. We were the cleanup demolition crew on Friday and Saturday. And they worked hard. They filled up a large container with all the stuff out of the bottom of this building. And that was just part of what they did. The other part was getting out and ministering to the homeless. They led in worship. They went out and went to the tent city and did a really great job. And I just want to encourage them to continue that same idea of service and serving others, even here in your own community, because sometimes it's harder at home with people that you know. And I want to encourage you, every one of you, keep it up. Keep serving. Keep telling others about God. But also, I want to encourage y'all, when we get ready to go next year, to come with us, to fill up that bus, and go with us.
Amen. And just if we have one more brief one.
Okay. Okay. Do I need this? All right. So this is part of Josh's first story, actually. I've never been out actually witnessing. As weird and crazy as this sounds, I do not like to talk in front of people. Surprise. Anyway, like up here, y'all will see me kind of go towards my, I can't do it. And so we come up to these first set of people when we're out in what they call Tent City, because it literally was just a village of tents everywhere. Like there's no way to describe it. And so Josh was up to talk to him, and he was just as brave as he could be. He'd been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the whole nine yards. And so Josh is speaking to him, and then this guy turns it around on Josh and starts talking to him, and he was like, "Can I pray over you?" And this man's living in a tent. He goes to Beautiful Feet Church, and it just is what it is. And so he starts praying over Josh and speaking over Jamie, and I just lose it, because I'm going, this dude just has some huge guts, and he don't care, and we're supposed to be talking to him, and we're not talking to him, he's talking to us. And so that gave me the guts to go. And so we're walking out, and John and the other guy that was over us, they were like, "You're doing it tonight. Like, tonight is your night, period. You're going to do it." And so we're leaving, and I'm like, "Okay, I didn't do it again. Yes, score." And so then there's this one guy, and we have one more box. Yep, his name was Joe. And so I go up to him, and I just kind of did what Jamie did. I was like, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And his response was, "No, I'm not." And so I said, "Okay, I said, well, just keep working on it. I said, keep going to Beautiful Feet. Keep doing it. Can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. And I mean, it was amazing. I didn't think I could do it, and I did it, and God's awesome. That's all I can say.
Hey, Christ Community is on mission here, there, and yonder, and we're one team. Give your team a hand. Christ Community is God. Yes. Okay, y'all. That's good. Thank you all. Thank you. If you want to share, we'll have time on Wednesday. If you didn't share your testimony, you want to, you can share this coming Wednesday. So that's just an invitation to you, y'all. There's a lot at risk, and God's doing at stake in the church being His team, accomplishing His mission. And I hope that's a good visual that we're God's team, and God will do great things through us. He'll grow us. I'm not talking about numerically. I'm talking about spiritually and in His mission. He'll do it. God will do it. We can trust God to give the increase. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering as they do on pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Father, I pray that even during this time of offering, if there's someone here who says, man, I don't have Jesus in my life. I'm just the natural man. I've never committed my life to Christ. You've been to church, you've done a lot of things, but you've never committed your life to Christ. You've never received the witness of the Holy Spirit that says you need to be saved, and you never said, yes, Lord, yes, I'll be yours, save me. If that's you, and today's your time, even during this time of offering, I invite you to come and give your life to Christ. I invite you to pray and give your life to Christ wherever you are. Father, we pray for this offering as well, and we pray that you'd use it for the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the beautification of His church, which we are. Grow us, Father. When we become babies, thank you for the patience you have, and help us to have patience with one another. Lord, drive us on. Lead us on to that place where we're on mission with you, and we get to see you glorified everywhere. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some, and right now I'm losing. I stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh, right now, I just can't. It's easy to see when there's nothing to bring me down.
let's just take God at His word, and He's given us a good day, and He's loved us, and let us go forward. I want to share just this real brief testimony with you. I was going to do it earlier, and I just forgot to, and I don't want to neglect it. It's short, so be patient. But it says, last night I was involved in a gathering, a Christian gathering that was involving hundreds of people. And yesterday we were praying, because the weather is supposed to be stormy all day, and we were praying, Lord, don't let the storms come here. Lord, hold the rain. Hold off the rain here. Don't let it come here. And all day long, here in Grenada, it didn't rain. It didn't rain. It didn't rain. But right when it was time for our event to happen and to prepare, it started raining. And I was like, just like this song, Lord, You're going to be glorified if it rains, or if it doesn't rain, we're going to give You the glory anyway. But Lord, please just hold the rain. And it just kept raining. And I remember walking and preparing. I walked inside, and my hands were in the air. I'm like, Lord, I know who You are, and I know what You can do, and I'm just asking that You just hold the rain. And when it was time, when the time came for the event and the preparation was done, when the people who were involved took the step outside the building they were in, I promise you, and there's witnesses here, the rain stopped.
Amen.
And just held off, as if God was saying, I wanted you to be unmistaken about who did this. And we worship the God who controls the rain, the sun, the moon, the stars, the spin of this planet. And we are His, and He is ours. Keep your head up. We're on His team, and it's good, good, good. I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would be with us as we go. Bless us and help us to look up to You, because You are awesome. And we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready, break.